preaching the glad tidings. Acts chapter 13 to 42 is our text for consideration. We have said when we begin this chapter that the mission work that the early church embarked upon was very much following in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have spoken to you and showed you from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, how Jesus went about all the cities, villages, in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease, and going there, binding the sick with compassion, with love, drawing the people to God. And he prayed that Holy Spirit may send laborers who would be willing to walk after Christ's example. And so the church was raised in the fullness of time to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, to point men and women to the only way to escape the wrath of everlasting fire. So we said that Christian missions is a Holy Spirit-led, systematic spiritual endeavor to rescue souls that are fainted and scattered as sheep having no shepherd, that resulted in the planting of new churches when souls are won into God's kingdom. And we said that it is hard work. It is hard work. It is Holy Spirit work. This is the work of Christian missions. And today, we want to emphasize on that particular aspect of the preaching of the Word of God. How Christ, when He went about the villages, He taught, He preached the gospel of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul wrote in retrospect concerning this gospel, this person of Jesus Christ, whom he got to know personally in the fullness of time, in that one event in his life. And he says that it has changed my life totally, and I want to attest to you that power that has given me a new life. So he said in Romans 1:16-17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You see, God used the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ appeared to him by a bright light to save him. Those were momentous times during the formation of the Christian church. And God would call this man in order that he would write half the New Testament for us, to provide us instructions how souls can be gathered into the kingdom of God. And so Paul says that it is the power of God, this gospel that we preach, unto salvation. It has that kind of an effect when it is given out. And he says also, when he was in the thick of his missionary journey, how when the Word of God is preached, how the Lord opened the hearts of men and women, we realize that the preaching of God's Word is not simply a conveying of information. That's easy. But it is a vessel that is consecrated and surrendered to God, allowing God to use those words to bring conviction. And he testified in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." It's not just what is being said. Of course, what is said is important. But he says that it came in power and in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God must take the Word of God to open the hearts of God's people, that they may find assurance in their heart. They may find a way back to God. They may receive peace and joy in their souls. And so he wrote again, and he said that the Word of God that was given is nigh unto thee. How the Word of God, when it is given, it provokes the mind to think, to consider our spiritual condition. And he says that the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So he's telling us the coming out of the word and how it brings faith to the heart of the hearers, and how the hearer who has received the Word of God can find a way back to God. This is God's method whereby souls can be converted. How was Paul converted? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ himself preached, appeared to him, spoke to him, convicted him. Indeed, it was a momentous time. And he wrote how that change can come to us. He says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and would believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So the word of God that is preached goes to the heart to cause the person to think concerning his own life. What is going on in your life? And the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. So this gospel is to be given to all without discrimination. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So this is God's method to save a soul, through the preaching of his word. And we have seen that journey that had begun by Paul and Barnabas and this man called John Mark. You recall, they were here in their base church in Antioch. And they were praying, they were worshipping God, and the Holy Spirit came and said, "Now is the time. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul." And so they were sent. And last week we saw the beginning of that journey, how they went by land, went by sea, 160 kilometers all the way from Antioch to the coast in Seleucia, and then to Salamis, which is the island of Cyprus. And then right across the island, they went to Patmos, and there they saw a very important counselor, a very important governor of that land believed. And then they moved on. Our text tells us. And today we are going to trace that journey. From here, they would go all the way to another place called Antioch in Pisidia. Right? Pisidia. Now you notice that there are two, this is modern day Turkey. And here there are two major cities or areas called Phrygia and Pisidia. Okay, although it is there in Phrygia, but it is also nearer to this the region of Pisidia, and therefore it's called Antioch in Pisidia. This is the place where they would travel 160 kilometers. Inland, and we want to observe, all right, that this journey to Pisidia was mountainous. Okay, they make this journey here. Right, there were many, there were mountain ranges whereby they had to cross. It was a difficult journey. So we want us to see that the gospel that came to Antioch in Pisidia was not just, you know, did not come easily. But that journey for them to reach that place took a toil upon Paul. And this place here is what we call also Galatian area, all right, whereby the Church of Galatia is. And we also want to observe how he said, right, that during that time, it has taken a toil on his body, that journey. So it is not just that the preaching of the Word of God, but that journeying, how the Holy Spirit led them, right, and how they had to overcome many physical difficulties. So we want to highlight one reason, right, that was given in the gospel, in the book of Galatians, how Paul was sick. Well, because of that journey that took place. And we want also us to observe, right, that there is that movement, right, that in which the Holy Spirit led them to travel. This is information providing you the 1,000 kilometers in which they would cover in the 2 years in which they make the missionary journey. But physically, it is a lot to move within a 2 year period. And so the accomplishment that came is tremendous. This is the journey that we are bringing before you. Okay. This is another map that we have that we want you to see. Okay. Antioch in Pisidia. What was this city like? A little background for us to understand. Right? This city has a principal god, a principal deity called Min, or Men Askenos. It is called the moon god. And how it remained to be a stronghold for idolatry. And there were also many studies made in that region, and we also see that they worship the Greek god of Jupiter. But there was also a strong Jewish presence there in this place. Reading of the diaspora since the destruction of the first temple in Babylon tells us that there were Jews who did not return to Israel but settled there. Okay, settled there. So there were hundreds of years already of Jews staying in that area. And the ruler of that place is a famous also for the cult worship of Caesar Augustus. Remember we said Caesarea has a shrine, a big tall shrine that you can see right when you are very far away in the sea. Here in Antioch, Pisidia, it is also another city like that, in which there is a great presence and of the Romans, and it is said that it is the second largest city in that region for the Roman Empire. So for the Romans to conquer that region, this Antioch in Pisidia is one of those major cities, right? And it is a city that is built like Rome, after Rome. Okay, it is modeled in such a way that when you are there, you would see, you know, like you are in Rome. And that the entire place, right, has what we said is a modern metropolis. Right? So Paul is there preaching to the people. This is what we see here in verse 13 of our text. Now, when Paul and his company loose from Patmos, which is in Cyprus, they came to Perga. Right? So you see the map. They went to Perga. So from here in Patmos, they went to Perga, which is here at the coast. In Pamphylia, and from there we are told that John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem for whatever reason. Right? Commentators, those who have read, said that, you know, he was immature during that time, so he left, and you know, Paul did not receive him back into the team until very much later. But when they departed to Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So this is what they did. Right? They went to the Jewish synagogue first in the city of Pisidia, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, right, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So the leaders of the synagogue stood up and asked that if there's anyone who want to speak up, right, do so. And, you know, Paul is one who is well trained in the Jewish law. He was trained by the famous Rabbi Gamaliel in Jerusalem. So they would have known him. And one of the other thought that we need to see is that this place is not very far from Tarsus, Cilicia, the place of Paul's birth. So we want us to see that it is a region, it is a place that Paul is not unfamiliar. It's a place that he was familiar, and there the Lord brought him. Okay, and he was in that synagogue. And there and then, right, he stood up. The Lord led him, beckoning with his hand, said to the man of Israel, those who were gathered there, "Ye that fear God, give audience." Now, what we would like us to see is what Paul said in his message to them. And we would like to outline it for us in three thoughts. Know God's hand in history. Know God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Know God's hand in history. It's so important. Where do we start sharing the gospel? There must be a link in which we are able to bring that message. And so for the Apostle Paul, what he saw, he was addressing the Jews, and so he told them about themselves, who they are. So he began, he says, the God of this people of Israel chose our father. So he identified himself to them and tells them that he is a part of that special people, the Jews, whom God has chosen. Now we all know, this is God's plan in human history. How God would raise a nation in order to reach out to all the nations of the world. And we also said that the best days of Jewish evangelism is not yet. It is yet to come. Christ will rule from Jerusalem, and Israel will be the nation that will rule and be the leading nation in a sense that will show the people what it is to be ruled under God. Such a blessing to be living under the laws of God, protected, blessed. And so Paul begins by showing them their history and showing them their roots, how they are a people of God. So this is so important, to bring in the subject of the invisible and true God in the lives of His people. Now, for the heathen, now you'd find that God would inadvertently reach out to them in other ways, preaching, showing them the creation, how God is the great God that created the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. And the Lord wants us to see, for Paul, he was addressing the Jews, and therefore he gave that history. He tells them, rehearsing for them their beginning, so as to help them to see that they are indeed the people of God. And they know that they are the people of God. But what he wanted to point out to them is this, that they are the people of God who, led by God, would bring forth as a nation the Savior of the world. Now this was what Paul was getting at when he tells them. He says in verse 22, that God would raise up David. Who is David? David was Israel's king. And how the Bible tells us that David would be the man from which the Messiah would come. And here, verse 23, Paul points them. Know God's hand in history. Know God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Of this man's seed has God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now, if you were to talk to the Jews today, they would not recognize Jesus Christ as a Savior. Have you spoken to a Jew before? You know, when I was younger, I have a neighbor who was a Jew, and you know, he was in the land in the early 60s. And I became a Christian, and I told him, you know, that I said that you know Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And he, in a way, said, no. Jesus Christ, if you were to go there to Israel, you would not be able to hear about him. The Jews in Israel don't know Jesus Christ. So I was a bit shocked. This is a Jew who claimed that he has descended as the people of God and yet do not know him. And so here, what we are saying is this, that God moved in human history. And there is only one way in which God moved. He chose a nation from which comes the Messiah, the Savior. And Paul is pointing out to them who this Savior is. He says, when John first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, how is it that you Jews have rejected him? I want you to see and understand that the forerunner, John the Baptizer, came and he preached the message of repentance. This is the Savior. This is the true Christ that you ought to know. And he tells us that John is not that Savior, but Jesus, the man who would come after him. And so he paused and he tells them, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God. Now, why did he mention the fear of God? Well, only men who fear God would be inclined to think and pray and consider the good words which are spoken and given to them. Right? The seeking heart. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, among whom you fear God, to you is this word of salvation sent. So these are very gracious words that he's telling them. All right? For he tells us then that this is the Christ who dwelt, whom they that dwell in Jerusalem knew, but crucified through Pilate, and how God raised him from the dead. Now, you may ask, is that so simple? Yes, I testify to you that the same gospel came to me in that same way when someone opened the scriptures, introducing to me Jesus Christ. And how is it that in that moment I understood the Word of God? I cannot explain to you. But this is the mystery of preaching, as we said, that the Word of God would use, the Spirit of God will use His Word to save. And so, what is shared here is how this Savior died for our sins upon the cross, and how He was raised again from the dead, and He was seen of many who came up with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are His witnesses unto the people. And so what we are saying here is that, you know, this phenomenon has taken place just 40 years ago. Not very long. But it was a momentous time in human history. And for us, when we give this message, how long ago is that? 2,000 years. But that it is that same historical fact. It is that same historical Jesus. It is that same historical truth that we give. Know God's hand in history. Know God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And so he says, I'm so happy to declare to you this glad tidings, this promise which has been made to our fathers of this Messiah. He is that Jesus. God had fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He had raised up Jesus again. And it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. So what was Paul saying? He was trying to prove from the scriptures that this is indeed the Christ. And we saw and we see how indeed this is the truth that he was preaching and giving. And he whom God raised again saw no corruption. How God, through Jesus Christ, is able to cleanse us from all our sins. And verse 36 says, For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, saw corruption. Indeed, when you go to Jerusalem, yeah, they will show you the sepulchre of David. But this Jesus, whom God raised, saw no corruption. So he's saying that Jesus who has died is alive, and I have seen him. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So the third thing that he did was to ask them to receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. This was what he did for them. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. For you could not justify yourself by the law of Moses. And so here, you see, the preaching of the Word of God came with such simple power that it showed to the people the truth. You see, when you give the truth to men and women, there is no way anyone can fight against the truth. Because if they would listen and they have experience in life, they would have understood that this is the truth. You can't fight against the truth. And that is where you see the people saw and they understood it. They understood it. So this third thought, receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The people heard the message and they saw that indeed this is the way in which men and women could be saved. And verse 41 of our text says, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So he's saying here that I'm speaking a plain truth, that the way back to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, would you believe? If you believe, you would be saved. And we would see how the Jews did not believe. How the Jews rejected the message. And indeed, later you would see that they would find trouble with him. But it is the Gentiles, those who are outside, who are nearby in the synagogue, who were just outside, you know, not the pure ones, heard the message and received the Lord. How interesting is it? It is, you see, that, you know, we said this week we were out you know, to the blocks and giving out some tracts. And we have a brother here who said, you know, I was saved by just one tract. I was very, very far deep in the jungle. And I found this tract and I read and I'm saved. And he says that, yeah, we have this tract pack, 6 tracts in which we put together. And he says, indeed, how privileged we are to be able to give out this message, which I only have so little opportunity to find. And yet, when I received it, I am saved. It is the same for the Jews. They had so many opportunities for the gospel, and yet they spurned it. They did not receive it. But you would see how God would use the word to save the humble, to save the God-fearer. The 3 thoughts that we want to bring before you. Know God's hand in history. Articulate it to the people whom you are sharing. Know God's Son, Jesus Christ. Point the people to the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then what? Receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. This is how God, through the ages, has used this simple message to pluck men out of hell and bring them to heaven. And this is that same message that we have. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we want to urge you to take that message out. So, as mentioned, we have prepared many track packs. And later on, we'll put them outside. You can take them and give it out this week. Give it out to someone. And if they would be willing to listen, well, sit down with them and show them the way to God. May the Lord use you for His own namesake. Let us pray. Father, we want to pray and ask that Thou be gracious to save souls according to Thy mercy for Thy own glory through the preaching of Thy word, whether in written form, whether it is in spoken form. Lord, we pray that Thy Spirit may be gracious to take hold of human hearts who need salvation, that whosoever will may find solace, life in Jesus Christ. This is in His name that we pray. Amen.